Hey everyone, my name's Adam West. I play Adam West on the podcast, I'm Not Adam West. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Davis and I have been thrilled with the feedback we've been getting so far and can't believe that people actually want to listen to the weird things that we have to say. We've had a few people ask, how can they help with the show? So I wanted to give all of our listeners something that they could do that's super important and would be super helpful. We need people to go and leave reviews for us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast at. The more views we get, the more visible our podcast becomes. So please, please help me live up to my namesake, Adam West, and go and review our podcast. Thanks. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast where we talk about famous people and the names they share with less famous but potentially more deserving people. I'm talking about I'm Not Adam West. And as always, joining me is none other than Adam West. How are you doing, Adam?
Oh, Davis, I'm doing great, man. It's been a good week. Spent a lot of time just kind of working on the podcast. I'm glad to be able to do that. And I have another improv show coming up next week. Next Tuesday, we're doing our second showcase. So
that's awesome. I love it. That's super fun. I'll be in Austin. You can extend an invite at any time. I'll come check it out.
You should, man. It'll be a fun night. Another thing, so special shout out to The Adventure Zone. They just released their first graphic novel. If you're not a fan of Adventure Zone, it's based on Dungeons and Dragons, and it's three brothers and their father playing the game. It's very comedically driven, very story-based, so don't get caught in the weeds of the whole Dungeons and Dragons things. But they did a cool graphic novel for it, and so it's kind of cool to have this like physical copy of this thing that I've, you know, been listening to for the past 2 years. I think I've been onto it. So
that's awesome. So Griffin McElroy, one of the brothers, he kind of leads the Dungeons and Dragons campaign. He's going to be in Austin next week. Are you going to be able to go?
I want to. I've called and asked and wanted to get tickets, but I won't be in town. So I'm very sad actually, because I really want for two reasons. A, I want him to sign my book, but two, I want to tell him my name's Adam West. Yes. I want to see what he says. I don't want the reaction.
Well, what we need is cross promotion. We need to tell them that your name is Adam West. We need to get you there. They need to talk about us on their podcast, and then maybe we will get more than five viewers, which would be great. Which would be like super fun for
us. Push us to six, guys.
That's all we need. Six. I've heard that six is the magic number. Once you get six, it just snowballs from there.
Yeah, it's downhill from there. So, what about you, Davis? How's life on your end?
Life's good. I'm in Dallas this week. I'm good to see my parents, which is super fun. I'm getting to hang out, have a few days off of work this week. And so just been hanging out. Lane and I are watching through The Office. I've seen it, but she's never watched it. And so she's very hooked. The Jim and Pam, will they, won't they, on again, off again romance has totally sucked her in. She falls asleep at night thinking about it, wondering about it. It is consuming her, which is exactly what I was hoping would happen. That she would be on board with The Office with me. So that's been fun. That's like a little life thing. But I have less than a month of camp left, which is really, really crazy. Camp is kind of an all-consuming thing when it's going on. Summers just get totally sucked up by camp, which, you know, one, you worked at camp, but two, you know, because I've been super flaky on recording this podcast with you. That will slow down, and hopefully my schedule will clear up and we'll be able to get far more regular with this. It's been good. Life is good. All right, Adam, you want to talk about who we're going to talk about this week?
Yeah, who do we got?
Okay, perfect. We are going to discuss Margaret Smith. You all probably know her. Most people probably know her, at least from a U.S. audience, as Professor Minerva McGonagall from the Harry Potter films. But she's been in a bunch of stuff, which we'll talk about in a minute. Before we kind of got rolling with this podcast, obviously we had the idea of talking about people who share names with more famous people, obviously from Adam West being a famous actor and Adam sharing his name. But what we didn't think about, what we didn't realize, is that as we've been doing this podcast, it has been much easier for us to find content having to do with male celebrities, people who are famous who are also male, and really, really difficult, or much more difficult, to find women who are famous for various reasons who also share names. That's just been much tougher for us. And I think mainly it has to do with the fact that for the majority of our, you know, human history, women have sort of been marginalized and pushed to the edges. They have not been necessarily recognized or given the opportunity for advancement that men have. And so for a long time, it has been few and far between that women have been recognized for the great work that they've done. And so what that's resulted in is that there's just this much smaller pool and sample size of women who are influential and important. Not that there have been few of those, but that there have been few of those recorded. And so since there's a much more narrow kind of window for that, we've had a harder time finding women who share names with each other. And so we want to make sure we address that, that the reason why we've done five men and now we're finally doing a woman isn't from any, you know, bias on our end, and not that we feel pressured or any sort of urge or obligation to, you know, be even or equal, but we want to be inclusive. And so we wanted to make sure that we did good, hard work to find women who are valuable and valued and want to kind of speak to their achievements, but didn't want anyone to think that our, lack of women up to this point was from any bias on our end. So
we said at the before we even started recording, we wanted to make sure that it was inclusive and not just the all predominantly male or white male even. And so, I think that we were both like very careful to make sure that we want to include quickly. And so, it's something that you said before we were recording today that it kind of, you just reset a little bit, but I was kind of, I marginalized it at the point of like, a lot of women don't share names. Like it's not as common, but I think it's way more like you kind of hit the nail way more on the head when you said that, yes, they have shared names with people over the years, but they have not been noticed. And
right, exactly.
That's like way more the case. And so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, just wanted to like put that out there, let y'all know what we were coming out of and not to give ourselves an excuse, but let you know that we're not professional researchers. And the vast majority of what we do is clicking links on Wikipedia at this point. And so knowing that it takes more time and effort, we wanted to give that effort, but to know that if it seems like there's an imbalance, I think it's a reflection of historically what kind of sample size we're working out of. So hopefully we'll get better at knowing those things, being able to do better research as we grow as podcasters and as amateur researchers. Hopefully that will be improved. But for right now, I just wanted to speak to that before we dove in.
I think Maggie Smith is a great first woman to have on here. I very much enjoyed researching her. To give a little backstory, I think we've had this happen in a few of the people that we've talked about, but we all in America, selfishly know Maggie Smith for Harry Potter.
Right.
There's a few others that I think that she's known for that, the people in the U.S. would know. She's been a running character on Downton Abbey for the past 5 years. Maggie Smith, she is Dame Margaret Natalie Smith.
Wow.
She was knighted in 1990 by Queen Elizabeth II. So she was born December 28th in 1934 to Father Nathaniel Smith and Mother Margaret Hutton. They have this nice story of how her parents told her the romantic story of how they met on a train from Glasgow. Her mother is Scottish and he is from Newcastle, and how they met on a train and that's how they fell in love. And nowhere does it say that that's led to her being an actress, but you gotta hope that
you have to imagine
romanticized stories have something to do with that. And I didn't cover this before, but again, she's known for much more than what we see. So
absolutely.
I've seen some places that say she's been in 50 films, other places that say she's been in 60 films. So she's known in not just like the film world, but like the on Broadway and the stage. It's like she is one of the only actresses, I think 15 or 14 actresses to receive the Triple Crown, which is Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, and a Tony Award. In 1958, she received the first of her 18 BAFTA TV and film nominations.
Wow.
She's known, or she starred in a lot of small movies that I just don't remember because I guess either I was young or didn't know. She was in Hook in 1991.
She's Wendy, right? I just saw Hook
she's
like
old Wendy's.
I saw it like a week ago. It was randomly on TV, and I watched a good majority of it. But yeah, she's Wendy.
Yeah, great movie. Love that movie. I totally forgot she was in it. She was in Sixth Act, The First Wives Club in 1996. Yeah. I guess she, again, got international success through the Harry Potter films. So obviously she's known widely for Professor McGonagall. And there's this funny quote that I read. Well, it wasn't a quote. Yeah, it was a quote from her that said, if she was a Hogwarts student, she would be most excited to attend potions class taught by Severus because it was the most exotic. So married twice. First husband was Robert Stevens. They had two sons together who both became actors in their own right. Chris Larkin and Toby Stevens. Huh. Which I looked them up. I've seen some of their movies up there, and I couldn't tell you their. I couldn't like remember their faces or anything.
Right.
And then remarried a playwright, Beverly Cross, until his death. 2007, it was disclosed that she also had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow.
And made a full recovery. So very strong woman. I mean, I think that's apparent in any role that you see her in. Like, she carries herself very well. 2011, she raised support to rebuild the court theater in Christchurch, New Zealand after the earthquake happened. So some charity work too. She has won 44 different awards, been nominated 95 times. And two of those wins include Oscar wins. She won Best Actress for a leading role in The Prime of Miss Jean Brody, and won another Oscar in 1979 for Best Actress in a Supporting Role in California Suite.
Yeah,
that's Maggie Smith. Cool,
okay.
Cool life, sweet woman.
That's awesome. I enjoy Maggie Smith and all the roles that she's in. I think she is fantastic. It's amazing how many movies she's been in, how long she's been doing this. I wanted to point out she has been in one video game. She has had a voice role in one video game. That video game came out this year. It's called Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, and it's an iOS game. So if you want to see Maggie Smith in a seemingly quite mediocre video game, her one video game credit is as Minerva McGonagall in Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery for iOS and Android, which I think is so funny.
You know, you're gonna get everybody with those voice acting. You know, hey, you make money. You don't have to be. You don't have to act. You just have to give us your voice. Yeah,
That's right. That's so funny. Okay, so Maggie Smith. Obviously, she goes by Maggie Smith, but Maggie, short for Margaret. And so we have some other Margaret Smiths that I would love to talk about. Adam, you ready?
Yeah. Let's hear you first.
Perfect. I got a couple that we're not going to go deep dive into, but there's a Margaret Smith who is a comedian. She has won the Emmy Award 6 times, which is pretty amazing. She's a stand-up artist. She's an actress, writer, and producer. And she actually was a writer and producer for the Ellen DeGeneres Show. So anyway, that is Margaret Smith, the comedian. There is Margaret Smith, the poet, who I want to talk about. She was born in 1958. She's a writer, a poet, a musician. She is still alive, so she's still around. Her name is Margaret Kellerman now. She got married. She was born in Norfolk, Virginia, and she has published lots of books, fiction, poetry, nonfiction, including The Barn Swallow, Made with Love, A Holy Struggle, Unspoken Thoughts of Hopkins, Journal Keeper, and The Rose and the Pearl. So she has published a lot of things. There was a reviewer who talks about her kind of blending of faith and art. It says, as far as I'm concerned, Margaret's poetry and perspective qualify her as a part of an elite community of Christians who have extraordinary insight into matters of faith and art. She's carrying on the tradition of, and then they list several different Christians who have also been artists. Lucy Shaw, Madeleine L'Engle, Flannery O'Connor, C.S. Lewis, and George MacDonald. Has a lot of respect. She's won some awards, but she is a poet. She's an author and an artist. So that's Margaret Smith, the poet.
Cool. All right. I'm actually very excited about my finds this week.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, they both there's a weird tie between the two of these.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to tell you. I'd like to see if you can figure it out. I'll kind of like add emphasis to it. So my first Margaret Smith is Margaret Mary Smith. She is an ichthyologist.
Okay.
Or a studier of fish. So she is known for pretty well renowned for that, as well as an accomplished fish illustrator.
Okay.
Which is just like a fun thing to say.
I've never had
to say those words. Margaret Mary Smith was born September 1916 in Indua, South Africa. She was a head girl, a head scholar, as well as a chairperson for the debate society. She attended Rhodes University, where she graduated with a Bachelor of Science, majoring in physics and chemistry. So after in 1937, after she attained her degree, she was hired as a senior demonstrator in chemistry at Rhodes University, and she married one of her lecturers, James Leonard Smith. I'll be honest, I started reading that and I was like, oh, this is going to be a weird story about how she married her professor.
Right. Yeah.
And then I clicked on him and I found out how world renowned this guy was.
Okay.
And I was intrigued. So they were married, James Leonard Brierly Smith, and they are noted, he exclusively, but she, the next one, he discovered the living fossil known as the coelacanth.
Oh.
Do you know what this is?
Uh-uh.
The best way I can describe this is, if you ever played like Pokemon, they made like a fish like this, but it's like,
okay,
just imagine like this old ancient looking fish is,
yeah,
really like the best way to describe it. It has, it's like very elongated, and
okay,
it was supposedly extinct over 65 million years ago.
Wow.
And so it was later called again for another specimen that was caught off the Comoros Islands.
Uh-huh.
And then persuaded the government to fly him there to collect the preserved fish. And so how Margaret Smith plays into this is, they both conducted fish collecting experiments. She was there for the second one when they found the coelacanth, and she would illustrate and paint their manuscripts of these. So she,
oh, cool.
So basically they would discover them and she would paint them out, or draw them out and illustrate them. So both worked in a department and worked on a production of the book called The Sea Fishes of South America, which was,
okay,
published in 1945. Margaret produced 685 paintings from edition of this book.
Holy smokes.
685. That's insane. She produced over 2,000 pictures of fish and became recognized,
yeah,
as one of the leading fish illustrators in the world at this point. This is kind of a weird ending to the story as far as like her husband goes, but it's I like it, you know, I'm gonna,
yeah,
say it. So 1968, her husband died of apparent suicide. He killed himself with cyanide poisoning. But the response that his friends gave were, he has always said that he didn't want to live over 70, and he,
wow,
died at 70.
Okay.
Like, that's
interesting.
When it seemed like one of those, they were not surprised that he,
yeah,
did that, because he said he had no intention of living past 70.
Fascinating.
So collectively they have discovered 370 species of fish and published over 500 papers on the topic. So, yeah, just kind of a cool woman.
Okay, there you go. Well, you know, it is always a great thing when you can find somebody to spend your life with who's just as passionate about your interests as the other person. That's a real catch.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
There it is. I was wondering where it was going.
I'd be lying if I told you that I hadn't spent the last 5 minutes trying to figure out what pun I was going to work in here. All right. Well, I've got a couple of Margaret Smiths that I would love to talk about, if you'll indulge me.
Perfect. Yeah,
so the first one I want to talk about is Margaret Bayard Smith. She was born in 1778 and she died in 1844. And she was actually a very successful and influential author and politician. Margaret Bayard was born in February 1778 in Pennsylvania. She was the seventh of eight children. Her dad's name is awesome. Her dad's name was John Bubbenheim Bayard. So maybe he went by Bubba. Maybe he was the first one. I don't know. I guess we'll find out later.
I hope he went by Bubba. I'm going to say he went by Bubba.
He's got to be big Bubba. But when she was born, her dad was actually with George Washington at Valley Forge. So he was helping shape the nation at that point.
Cool.
She started writing books in the 1820s. So when she was in her, I guess that would have made her in her 50s, yeah, or late 40s. Basically, her literary reputation mainly comes from a collection of letters and notebooks that she wrote between 1800 and 1841. And then they were kind of compiled and published in 1906 as a book entitled The First 40 Years of Washington Society. So a really interesting look in what was Washington life like for people who were actually living there, right? So in 1809, she moved with her husband to Washington because he became the president of the Bank of the United States. So, and pretty much right away, they became a political power couple. She established the first newspaper in Washington City whenever the government moved from Philadelphia to Washington. And then when Jefferson took office, he gave her a government contract, which printed the journal for the House of Representatives. So just kind of, she got plugged in really, really quickly. And even beyond that, I mean, obviously, being a woman in this era, she was expected to, in public life, kind of be exclusively domestic, right? To run her husband's household, to kind of be limited by that. But she actually used that role to her advantage, and she got herself immersed in Washington life. She wrote about Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and was very aware of kind of the state of the nation and understanding what the people needed in regards to being reassured about these men and kind of their authority. Mm-hmm. Her commentary on her trip to Jefferson's dwelling Monticello shaped his image as the sage of Monticello. So really, really interesting. She really, in a lot of ways, shaped kind of the public mentality of who these people were and whether or not they could be trusted with their government. And she did all of this during a time when most women were confined to playing mother and wife at all times and not be expected to be involved in these things. So Margaret Bayard Smith flips that on its head. And in this time, used the societal expectations of her, but her own kind of political and relational savvy to influence literally a nation. Just like a really interesting, really cool lady, really interesting to see about how she kind of used her role and perception of her to change public perception of some people who are still considered to be some of the more influential people in the shaping of our country. So that is Margaret Bayard Smith.
Okay. I like this because it segues nicely into my next Margaret Smith, Margaret Chase Smith, also a U.S. politician. She is the first woman to serve in both houses of the U.S. Congress.
Wow.
And the first woman to represent Maine in either of those. And she's among the first to have criticized Joseph McCarthy and McCarthyism. Okay. Kind of early life, she lived in... Or born in Maine, married. This is okay. I want you to see the connection here. So she married Clyde Smith, who was 21 years her senior.
Wow, there you go.
So both of these have like weird, in my opinion, just like not the social norm of weddings. But again, different time, different place. He was a politician as well,
right?
Or he was a politician at the time, and so she became more active in politics and was elected for the Maine Republican State Committee, on which she served from 1930 to 36. After which, Clyde was elected as a U.S. House of Representatives, 2nd Congressional District. So she went with him to Washington and served as a secretary and began serving as like a treasurer as well. So he had a heart attack and was just kind of a deteriorating health and actually petitioned for his wife to run for his House seat, which he was going to step down from. And he prepared a release that stated, "I know of no one who has the full knowledge of my ideas and plans or is as qualified as she is to carry on these plans and my unfinished work for my district."
Wow. So, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see like her husband was very much like this. She is fit for this job and needs to do it. Which she did win. He died April 8th of that year, and a special election happened following with no real challenger. She won the special election to become the first woman to Congress in Maine. Following that, she was elected to elected to a full 2-term in the House. So during her tenure, she was big on military and national security. She was always known as like kind of like sticking to her guns on things, even if it was against what the populace said. And this will come out several times in her political career. Most importantly, as when she spoke up against McCarthyism in the second Red Scare. So for those who don't know what the Red Scare is, it was basically this point in where we all thought that everyone was Russian. Was a red. Joseph McCarthy had a way of scaring politicians to kind of go his way, or he would accuse them of also like being, you know, ties to Russia as well.
Commie.
basically. And so in June 1st, 1950, she delivered a 15-minute speech known as the Declaration of Conscience, in which she refused to – she didn't name McCarthy directly, but basically charged him of saying, you're accusing these people to base on any form of actual – you know, evidence.
Right.
And she is, and she said McCarthyism has debased the Senate basically to the level of, to the level of a forum of hate and character assassination. She defended every American's right to criticize, right to hold unpopular beliefs, and the right to protest. This was like the big pull points from her speech. And six other Senate Republicans signed on to her declaration after she kind of took those first steps. And so, again, just kept growing notoriety. She was, in 1952, so 2 years after this speech that she gave, she was widely mentioned for a vice presidential candidacy under Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Okay, fascinating.
Which would have been really cool. Except she apparently didn't like Eisenhower that much.
Okay, all right.
And so just very independent nature. She actually opposed President Eisenhower's nomination. Yeah. In 1964, Smith actually announced her own candidacy for the U.S. presidency.
Okay.
She declared, "I have few illusions and no money, but I'm staying for the finish."
That's awesome.
She lost every single major election, but did manage to win 25% of the vote in Illinois.
Hey, so, there you go.
But, you know, this is not today. So, like, the fact that she had the gall to do this... and the nerve to stick with it. I mean, she could have dropped out at any time, but it says that she refused to withdraw her name even from the final ballot until the general election was over. And I thought that this one was cool. So she, there's apparently a set of trading cards called the Super Sister Trading Cards.
Okay.
So I had to look these up. So these are a set of trading cards of 72 depicting famous women of politics, media, and entertainment.
Awesome.
And so she is on the fourth card in this series of 72.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, these cards were created in New York by two sisters, just to like basically kind of like imagine like baseball cards, but for women's powerful women. So
that's awesome. We need to start looking at this list for the Super Sisters cards for ideas for famous women that we could do on our podcast. This is a great resource. Yeah. All right, I've got one more Margaret Smith I would love to talk about. And Adam, this is my favorite Margaret Smith. This is my favorite Maggie Smith of all of them. I think this woman is amazing. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So Margaret Charles Smith, she was an African American midwife. So she was there. She was kind of, her profession was to be there with women, to help women give birth, right? I'm going to tell this less more factually and more like a story. I just think that her story is super cool. So her grandmother, who had been a slave, raises her. She went to a rural school in Utah, Alabama. So she was from Alabama, but basically as she was in school, even if she was in elementary, you know, middle school, we would consider it in grammar school, she came back and helped with the farm. And so her schooling was interrupted often by going back to help out with the farm. And then when her grandfather died when she was 16, she left school entirely to go help run the farm with her grandmother. So even at a young age, strong, hardworking woman. Okay, get this. So that was until she was 16. But at age five, so she's 5 years old, she is at the bedside of basically the long distant relation, is the wife of a cousin of her future husband. So the guy who's going to be her husband in the future is his cousin's wife, right? She's 5 years old. She's at the bedside, and basically this lady is giving birth, and it's like, this baby's coming right now. And so Smith at age five caught the infant when it was born before the midwife arrived at the home. So literally like at 5 years old, she is performing the duties of a midwife and doing them pretty well. She like caught that baby, right?
That's how to act under pressure right there.
I know, seriously, right, she succeeded at that role for sure. So she like was there, but she was interested in midwifery when she was in her teens. So when she was a teenager, in this time, this is what's really cool. In this time, like African-American midwives who weren't necessarily part of the church or part of a hospital, they were crucial. They were really, really important to the lives of Southern black women, because most hospitals at that point wouldn't admit black women as patients, which is really sad. Yeah. But it made these kind of unofficial midwives really important. Basically, during a 35-year career, she's a midwife for 35 years, she delivered over 3,000 babies. 3,000 babies.
Yikes. Holy crap.
In 35 years, which is really, really cool. So this, despite the condition that these mothers were often in, despite how many babies she helped deliver, she lost almost none of the babies. And even more impressively, she lost none of the mothers in childbirth, which is amazing because infant mortality in African-American women at this point ranged from around 74 to 22 per 1,000 babies born. So the fact that she, you know, she should have lost between, what is that, like 66 and, you know, 100 or 210 babies or women, like that's amazing. She was really, really good at this. In 1976, Alabama actually outlawed traditional midwifery. So it became illegal to be a midwife that was not state licensed. But because of her experience and because of how good she was at her job, Margaret Smith was allowed to continue on. So she basically had this special permission to continue being a midwife, even though it was illegal. In 1996, she co-wrote a book about her life, which is called Listen to Me Good, The Life Story of an Alabama Midwife, which is great.
I love that.
Over the course of her life, she was given lots of honors and kind of left a really cool legacy. In 1983, she was given the keys to Utah, Alabama. She was the first black American to receive that honor. She was honored by the National Black Women's Health Project. She was a keynote speaker at the New Orleans Rural Health Initiative in 1997. She was given a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Black Midwife and Healers Conference in 2004, the year that she died. And then in 2008, she had a documentary film about her life released. It was entitled Miss Margaret. And then in 2010, she was inducted into the Alabama Women's Hall of Fame. I think beyond that, beyond just like being recognized, beyond having, you know, a great career and being noticed for that, she like literally helped save the lives or protect the lives of 3,000 babies. And because of that, 3,000 mothers literally held on to their life were, I mean, like, what more could you ask for someone's life that they physically helped deliver 3,000 babies and saved the lives or at least protected the lives of 3,000 women in a community and in a part of the world where there were women who literally couldn't get care other than people like Margaret Smith. Really, really cool. I love it. I had a lot of fun reading about this woman and reading about her story. I think that she is awesome.
Wow. So that's awesome. She sounds like a great woman.
Absolutely.
Unless she was. So, okay. Those are our four candidates. Davis, would you like to hear some interesting facts about Maggie Smith before
I would love to, Adam. I would love to.
She won her Oscar for California Sweet. And so she won Best Actress in a Supporting Role that year, 1979. 1979 through 1982, the initials of women to win that award were MS. Hilarious. So she started this like 4 years in a row. The woman who won, her initials were MS. So I just thought that, I mean, again, nothing really about her, but I just thought that's kind of interesting fact. Yeah.
It's good.
And so, and lastly, she has won the most BAFTA awards of any actress.
Wow.
Winning a total of four. She won three consecutive years running.
That's awesome.
For the films A Private Function, A Room with a View, and The Lonely Passion of Judith Heron.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, Davis, I got to ask, I think I know your pick, but who do you have as your Maggie Smith?
Yeah, it's no question. I tip my hand early. I think that Margaret Charles Smith, she's awesome, man. Like, yes, Maggie Smith, the actress, like, great job, wonderful work, love her stuff, but I don't think I can hear about this woman who did such great work under not great conditions and literally saved 6,000 lives or roughly 6,000 lives or helped preserve 6,000 lives and like not be so pumped about that. And I think this is the first one that we've done that I'm like, I legitimately want to start telling people about this woman and make her the most famous Margaret Smith. Like, I think she's amazing. I think she's awesome. Super fun reading about her story. I like genuinely will probably at some point here in the not too distant future get the copy of her book, like of her autobiography, and read it. Like, I want to know more about this person and her life and her experiences. And I think that definitely more people need to know about her. I think she's fantastic.
Okay. That's great. I think I agree. I will say I agree. As much as I love Maggie Smith.
Yeah. Especially as a film guy.
Yes, and that's the thing, though. I think that actually does hold a little bit back from hers, because she is, like, very well-known in this film world, but, like, outside of that, there was not really a lot of information to pull from. I mean, she's a very good actress. Never going to take that away from her, but, like, the substance is with the other people.
Right.
You know, and so I think I agree with you. I think... just for the sake of the argument, I really do like Margaret Chase Smith. I think that, like, again, just a powerful woman in a difficult situation, faced a lot of adversity. Even like a biopic about McCarthyism with her standing up against, like, Joseph McCarthy would be, like, I would watch that film. You know?
Absolutely.
So she would be my second pick. Again, listening to a lot of what you said, she's done a lot too. But I think I'd have to agree with you. So
cool.
So that's Maggie Smith for you, people.
There you go, Margaret Smith.
All right. So anything else from you, Davis?
Nothing, man. I really enjoyed this episode. I'm glad we got to do it. I'm glad we will continue to do it.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to reach out, or if you know anyone named Margaret Smith, reach out to us at inawcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, and we should be getting Twitter up soon. I believe that's a thing that's happening.
We have a Twitter. We just haven't really tweeted. We're bad at social media, Adam.
Yeah, we are pretty bad at social media. So once summer ends, I think that we'll be able to get it back on those kind of gravy trains there.
Sure thing.
Yeah, please reach out. As always, comment. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Leave us reviews. Anything, honestly, is helpful. We're new to this and we love it, but you know, we know where we need to improve on things. So we'd like to thank Broke for Free for letting us use their song Luminous. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.